This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
There are nearly 20 million military vets in the U.S., and each week we focus on their stories. This is CBS Eye on Veterans. Welcome back to CBS Eye on Veterans. I'm Navy vet Phil Briggs. And this week, well, we're having a series of conversations about getting incredible jobs for vets. The University of Maryland Global Campus Military and Veteran Entrepreneur and Appreciation Fair is on April 28th. Now, if you're in the D.C. area, it's in the College Park Marriott and Conference Center. But we've got an advance look at several of the companies that will be there ready to recruit veteran talent. Now, if you've ever wanted a fat job in high tech, but felt your lack of computer science degree was the thing that was holding you back, well, then this episode is for you. Jim Chitwood is the Director of Workforce Partnerships with Revature. And Revature, well, they're looking for the next generation of software engineers, and you can find no better candidates than in the veteran community. So, Jim, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, brother. Thank you. Glad to be here. Glad to chat with y'all. Glad to have an opportunity to connect with vets.
Yeah, right on. And it's probably my favorite topic. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love interviewing, you know, veterans with great stories and the great war stories. I love. But when it comes to the actual brass tacks, what I think this show is, does, and can be for vets, it is anytime I can find an inroad to a job. And the jobs we're talking today here with Revature, you know, these aren't JOBs. This isn't something you just go and get once coming out the military and it'll hold you over till the next thing. These are lifelong careers. And it's interesting, the more that I've talked to veterans of the GWAT era, how uniquely qualified we are. But first, let's start with what Revature is and what you guys do.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a really unique technology company in the sense that we train people to be software developers. They can come to us with any background. We're what's called a hire, train, deploy model, where we hire them into W-2 roles, full benefits, medical, dental, vision, 401k, all of that. And then we pay them during our training to become software developers. Then we deploy them to our clients, which are Fortune 500-like firms. I say like because you know, we've got large system integrators, we've got governments that are our clients. And so they're not all, right, they're not all Fortune 500 companies, but they have to be really large because when we train large groups of people in cohorts to go work for our client. So, you know, it has to operate at scale, which is, you know, great for veterans because obviously they're getting out of the military at scale every day.
I say I'm impressed with it because I hear about a lot of different job opportunities, a lot of organizations that help veterans find jobs. You know, they bring them in, they'll maybe expose them to a mass database of job postings. And yep, that's a great way to do it. That's a great way to find an open door. But you're saying with Revature, you can come in with really a variety of backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And if you've got the aptitude and you enjoy the software engineering, the coding, the things of that nature, you guys will train up a person without this in their background and yeah, get them ready to accept and deploy in one of the companies, one of the partner companies you work with. Tell me how that works. If I'm like an admin guy, say even my own background, I was a journalist in the military, mm-hmm, or a yeoman, or, you know,
some or kind infantry. I was infantry, right? I mean, I would say, what did I learn in the military? I learned discipline. I learned teamwork. I learned how to take orders. And I'm good at setting up a perimeter defense. That's not really useful, all of it, in the civilian world, right? And I was a mortar.
dive into more of your background real quick. I think I skipped a step there. Go ahead and dive into your military background.
I'm the kid who in high school had no direction, right? I was that kid who was a latchkey kid, spending way too much time doing all the wrong things. And luckily, I was smart enough to recognize I had no future if I didn't do something drastic, right? Because as a senior in high school, I was hanging out with people who were in their 20s, in their 30s, right? And it became clear to me that if I didn't shift course, I was going to be those guys. So I joined the Army, and it was a life-changing event for me. I did it so that I could get college fund money. I did it so that I could learn some discipline. I needed it. And I did it so I could see the world. And when I got out, my plan was to go to college. I knew it wasn't a career for me, as an infantry soldier. I knew that this was a path, right? It was going to give me what I needed, and it was going to be that path. So I got out and I went to college. I have an associate's, a bachelor's, a master's, a doctor, right? So I went all those, I went through all those paths, but I would have to say that the whole time I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I wasn't pursuing a career, right? It was just go get a degree and the workforce will help you figure it out, right?
And then go get another degree and another degree, which is what I see a lot of people, especially in like major metros, like where I live, DC. Some people can stay in school for 10 years and it almost seems as though they're kind of waiting for the storm clouds to blow over until they figure out where to plug in all this big brain of theirs. When in reality, you know, that's an expensive trajectory.
Big time. Not only is it expensive, but it isn't predictable, right? You can't foresee where that's going to be, right? There's not a clear path. You don't have a clear battle line there, right? You're just running around in the forest hoping there's a way out. And so, our model is akin to the old apprenticeship model, right? Like back in the day, you know, we go back 50 years and it was get a degree and the companies will teach you what you need to know, right? Well, it's no longer the case now. Companies need people to hit the ground running, right? They can't afford to develop employees. So I call it an apprenticeship like model because back then it was, if you had the aptitude, they would teach you the job, right? And that's exactly what we do. We assess everybody. So anybody coming out of the military, regardless of their background, when they come out and they come to us, we assess them and we assess their skill set. So if they are rock and roll and ready to go, we'll put them directly in our training. If they've never seen a line of code and don't have any concept of how it works, then we've got a training to get them up to speed to put them into our more hardcore training, right? So we have done this in this model to develop talent because what we know, what we realized 15 years ago and what the world is realizing is that there's more demand for software developers than there are people graduating from school with degrees in software development, software engineering. And so what we have to do is we have to broaden the pool of people who believe that they can be successful, right? The people who are like, yeah, that sounds like the way to go. So we just have to get more people. You know, 70% of the people we've hired over the past, about 70% of the people we've hired over the past 10 years have not been computer science majors. They've been everything. And we've got a great story of a teacher. I know, actually two great stories of teachers. And, you know, I always say teachers, cops, and nurses have the hardest road. I mean, that's a hard, hard road, and, you know, more power to them for what they do. You know, so we'll get people who make a career change because what they've decided is that path, while it sounded neat at first, isn't a long-term path for success. You know, back in the 1920s, if you had a manufacturing job, you had a job and you were set for life, right? You were making good, solid income. You were in a great area and you just went in, you did your job and you knew that job was going to take you. I see software development it is the manufacturing job of the current and the future era because every company is a technology company now. They've got other services, but they are a technology company. And if they're not, they're not going to survive. And so the software developing role might not be the most glamorous for some people, but it is very well paid now. And it is a future proof career, right? We're talking, you know, six figure salaries, foolproof career. Everybody needs a software developer because there's more demand than there is supply. So what I love about what I do at Revature and what we all do is that it's that super cool win-win where good business produces good results, where everybody's lives are improved.
Amazing. I know I've said that twice so far, but that is really cool that you guys are able to do that. Yeah. Okay, so we've covered the fact that any rate, any MOS, any background can be looked at, screened, and with, you know, the aptitude and with maybe, you know, the kind of discipline there, there are tracks, whether you've seen coding before or you're already involved in it with, you know, you maybe even work in Cyber Command or something. Mm-hmm. I know, especially interesting because even a grunt like you could have done this. You know, if an 11 Bravo can do it, amen, brother. That is awesome.
True that.
Share with me a couple examples or, you know, a few that come to mind when you think about how corporations use software engineers, what the actual jobs do.
Well, we are using software right now as we're talking, right? Those headphones on your ears, that microphone. Somebody wrote a code that made that work, right? And to me, software developers are people who like problem solving, right? They enjoy producing an output that is successful, right? When you write a line of code, in the end is a tangible application, right? It is a thing that works or it doesn't. And sometimes it works really well and then a bunch of other people use it and it breaks, right? Or it works really well and something happens and it breaks. It needs to be fixed, right? And so that's what the software developers do. They're the ones that initially write the code that produces the product that that we use and take for granted, right? And then they're the ones who solve the problems when issues arise, right? They're those people who are ready to problem solve.
So, for instance, I was working with a gal the other day, and we had to establish a whole list of interviews to do, and I needed bios on each and every person. And I said, hey, how can I get all of the people that are signing up to be interviewed to submit their bio? How do I get it without starting email threads between 30 different people and kind of losing my mind through the admin thing? And she shot me back like a link. And it was to a form that was all pre-filled. They had all the spaces for everything I need. And now every time somebody fills that form out, I get a PDF.
Yep.
Is that an example of a corporation using software engineering because that little link she sent me had to be made by somebody?
Yes. It's that location that's really the developer, right? A software developer wrote the code that produced that form. Now, there's lots of companies that have different forms. They're not all equal. Right. And those are the things that differentiate organizations is A, the quality of the developers, B, their critical thinking and ability to think quickly. Right. When issues arise, that's when the truest skill comes out. So a developer wrote that and then they wrote it based upon the qualifications of the organization that were given to them. So what are the parameters? What do they want to see? What are the enhancements? And so that's where that developer does. Right. And every app you can think of. Right. All of that cool stuff that we take for granted, that's all written by developers. Right. Everything we touch on our phone, every one of those, a developer wrote. Now, there's different types of apps. Some of them are kind of like plug and play where I kind of describe them as Legos, right, where they take blocks of code and they stick them together. That's one way. Somebody still wrote the code that got shoved together. Right. So you've got different levels of software developers.
Very cool. Yeah. Lastly, want to talk about the nature of the workforce today and a vulnerability that scares the hell out of me that I think software developers are going to have to solve. But cybersecurity, that can only be a growing category. And talk to me about the implications for employment in that job sector.
Yeah, absolutely. So lots of people cybersecurity is a buzzword, right? It's everywhere. Everybody knows it, right? Who's hacking who? I was just reading an article last night about China and America got their little cyber war going every second of the day and none of us see it, right? Because there's a team of dedicated people who are really, really smart and they're interacting in the cyber world, right? So cybersecurity is cool, super awesome, very necessary. If somebody is both cybersecurity and software development background, they are a far better asset for any organization because they know how to create the code, right? So there's using code that's written, again, back to that block of code concept, right? They're using code that's written to identify, capture, and destroy target. Then there's the people who wrote the code that did that, right? So when you have somebody that does both, that is a far better asset. Using weapons is one thing. Understanding how to manufacture them on the fly, that's a whole different skill set. And that's what a software developer who's also a cybersecurity professional is able to do.
And your true enlisted colors are showing. I love it, man. I love it. Once a grunt, always a grunt. Always good grunt, stuff. Man. Well, it sounds like a great way for people to go from warrior to cyber warrior. And I know that when you say software engineering, you're right. It's more than just a buzzword. It's a labyrinth of jobs out there, a labyrinth of companies, and the behind the scenes business to business connections are the ones that are hiring for this. And you are a doorway and a pathway, not only to finding those jobs, but finding the training. Let's wrap with, tell me more about Revature. Where do I find you guys? How do I spell you guys? And where do I find you if I want to recommend somebody take your path?
So Revature is spelled Revature.com, right? So Revature.com. You can direct people to several places. One of them would be Revature.com/workforce. You know, the main thing I want to leave with people is an understanding that don't let the concept of software engineering intimidate you. Think of this. Do you want a future-proof career? Do you want to tell computers what to do versus them telling you what to do? Right? Do you want that type of job that just truly differentiates yourself? That's in software. That's in technology. We like to say we want to be people's first great job. We don't want to be their last. What we want to do is give them an opportunity with a Fortune 500 company that is going to set them up for success the rest of their life. So that's what we want to do, right? Is really be that rocket, be that springboard, be that troop transport that gets them where they need to go.
Do you want to tell computers what to do, or do you want computers to tell you what to do? I don't think I've ever heard it said any better. Jim Chitwood with Revature, really appreciate your time, man. And thank you, man. Thank you for opening the doors for our fellow vets.
Amen, brother. Appreciate your time. Thanks, Bill.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Ion Veterans ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.